Quinto que hay un plan.
Told him that an enemy, the devil, had done that.
He said, no, let both go together until the end of age. He would send forth the angels to bind the tares into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the garner or the barn. All right, we see there an end situation in the second parable. You might ask, well, why is it then that at the end of the age does he give the one concerning the dragnet? Any of you know what a fishing thing is? It's kind of a net. Back before so many fish got taken out of the waters, that's how I Dad would get together with a group of people, and they would always measure the value of a thing by its length. They'd get a lot of them together, and they'd go out into the lake, and they'd take the thing from around, and there would be some in the middle, kind of hold it, and they'd make a rounding hole. Bring it together and then drag it out upon the shore. And I've seen Dad bringing these parts. It'll be a half of a number three wash tub for you, if you know what a number three wash tub is. And there are all kinds of fish that were in that were in that lake. I know that's the only time that I ever saw what was known as a gas lagoon. It was a fish that had a long lower bill, a mouth, gathered of every kind. Now, we notice in the parable of the wheat and tares that the devil had done this. But now, in this, we see that there is another facet of it, that somehow the presentation of the gospel as a net gathers people. And some are saved and some are not. They come in just like the net that's in the sea. And when it's full, when the gospel age is in, when it ends, the Lord's going to do with the net just like he'll do with the wheat. They pull it into the door, they divide the good into fat dogs to be used to pass the bad away. So those who have more or less been inclined to just kind of take on religion because it's profitable, maybe. How about a name in the community? I know one man one time tried to touch a little church, a little rural town, if you can call it that, I guess that's what it was, so little. He joined the Masonic Lodge, took all of his degrees, and went along and he ran the little store there in the little village. Well, he said, you know what? Joining the Masonic Lodge didn't help my business a bit. People will get into religion for reasons like that. A little better prestige, perhaps. Be counted so and so. And be looked upon. But have never really been converted. These are the bad fish. Now, at the end of the age, the separation is going to be made. And actually, it seems that when the separation is made, the good fish, I think, are involved in 1 Thessalonians 4, 12 to 13. What we call the rapture and the resurrection. The resurrection of the living the dead, saying, and king of the living. Brought up together. Gathered into vessel. But the bad are cast away. And I think that what's involved in here is that these people go into the false religious form, false professors, all of that, go into the tribulation period, and there the judgment will come, and you'll read Revelation concerning all the various judgments that come upon the earth, though many of the earth population, a third of the earth population dies, and go on and see how many times it says that. But what happens to these when they die? Well, they go to they go where the rich man is. And they stay there until the great white throne judgment. Now, Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? Now this is the seventh law of the seven laws of Jesus. This is the law of review. This is the law of application. Have you studied, he says to his disciples, have you understood all these parables, the teachings from these prophets? As a whole, do you get a composite picture of the whole age? And that's what we get out of these seven parables. We see the good, we see the bad. Let both grow together until the end of the age. All right, now, there is the good, there is the bad, there is the lost, there is the saved. And there comes then the consummation or ending of this period of time. Christ is coming again. And the second coming of Christ is just as necessary to God's purpose as it was in his first coming, in God's purpose for him to die as the Lamb of God that taken away the sin of the world. Man is looking for the answer to his problems today. And it's not going to be very long until the world is going to have to go over to that sandy country over yonder to the Arabs, who are becoming the bankers of the world. They're reaping the profits of the world. And already they're saying that, yeah, you have the money, but we want 51% of your industry. And so they're buying up industries, they're buying up hotels, they're buying this in the various countries. Well, what are we doing? We're getting ready for the end of the age, and it's going to take the Lord Jesus Christ to answer the problem and to bring that portion of his purpose into the spirit of mankind. Now, have you understood all these things together? You get the picture from the coming of Christ, first time, to his second coming? What does it tell us? It tells us that it's going to be hard. It tells us that the truth are going to have to fight back. It tells us that they're going to be in a minority. It tells us that the world is not going to be converted. The world is not going to become better and better. The world is going to become worse and worse. And worse and worse. That's some of the lessons that are involved. And it tells you and me that we had better take a stand now on the Lord's side and have nothing to do with the kinds of things that's leading to the fulfillment of the
apostles.
It looks like for the apostasy to come to its full growth, its full height, to take its full sway over the world, can only be fulfilled as the truth are taken out. The apostasy will be full. All right. Have you understood all of these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. All right. Verse 52, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man, that is, an household, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Another thing about the seventh law was that you might put to practical use the lessons that you learned. When you review, when you do this, you're going to set it in your mind, and you're going to make the practical applications of it. All right, now he says that every scribe, every student who is instructed, now get that, we need to learn these truths as well as all other truths that is possible to learn. But notice now, fellas, you're going out here one of these days to practice in church. You need to have your doctrine right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be instructed. Instructed in the word, instructed in the right belief of the word. Don't forget that. And keep in mind, from henceforth with every one of us, as long as we live, we're going, or ought to be, continually learning, becoming a better instructor to Christ. And he tells now, he compares the scribe, this learned one, to you and me, like a householder. Now, this word householder means a house debt. Well, what was that? In those days, a man who was the head of a house was actually the head sometimes of almost a family. There might be a number of his relatives that were involved looking to him for their livelihood. There were the slaves. There were his children. And it was his responsibility to see that they were fed. And that's the kind of man in somebody. You and I are like that. We are responsible to see that they are fed. Preach the gospel to every lost man you can. But to every person that is saved, try to bring him up as a newborn child, as it were, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What was the kind of conference did the Lord have with Peter down on the seashore that morning? Peter, do you love me? Peter, and he used the word agapao there. And he said, now, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. He used the word filio there. And he said, feed my sheep. And actually, there were three classes of sheep. We'll have time to go into that now. There are the young, I must be changed. There are the ones that are well able to produce the wool and so on. They must be soon answered. And you must be after the situation. Not only do I think that we should see after, we should see after the people sickly, spiritually, but also those who are sick physically. Another one. One of the great ways in which we are failing so terribly today is among our citizens, our agents. You don't know how lonesome they get. Recently, Sister Myers brought me the address and telephone number of one of our elderly members, and had to go through convalescent hospital to be there until she goes to the Lord. Well, she and I used to have such good discussions of the Lord and the study together. Sometimes she called me up. Well, I wish that I could go visit, but I can't. But I can write it. I can tell her what she's meant to me. And I can tell her that she's been one of the inspirations of my life. There's nothing to give up. Aged, somewhere, I guess between 85 and 90, she went just as long as she could. The last time I saw her, she came in a wheelchair here when the Rudy was married. I met her up here. No. She goes down. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. In spite of your handicap, in spite of the things that are contrary, God can use everyone that He calls into the ministry. He can use every scribe that He calls into the ministry. And we ought to let Him be used until God is finished with them. And let's not try to end that life as it is. Instructed in the things of the kingdom. And brother, if you're instructed in these things, you might say. So you're going to have to bring those things out and feed them. Have a storehouse. How many of you have ever seen the old smokehouse that people used to have where they would cure the meat? Let's see your hands. Okay, there are some of you. I remember so well the one that my grandmother had, my mother. A smokehouse, and then on one side of it, they had a large tank. Floored and everything, and there were shelves in there, and the can put back the produce, the vegetables, and when the weather was right, until and cure the meat in the other side of it, when it was properly cured, they'd take it up, hang it up, then go to the woods and get some hickory wood, green hickory, and then come and build smoking fire under the meat. And that way it became fit for smoke, and also that smoke would dry the salt, the presence, and all how good it was. Well, the old smoke house was hooked up with a large butcher knife and put out the lean section of our home. Paired in on a cold day and sliced it up. Put some hot biscuits, make some hand gravy. Get you a bread, big old pitcher of a driven thin syrup. My, that was easy. that deep. That's the picture that he's drawing here of this stuff that this tribe has stored back in the storehouse. The things that you've learned. You are like him who is well trained. And you can see this because throughout your lifetime that the Lord will see your faith. And here to me. So the one that's instructed in me, now listen to the fellow, don't misunderstand it, for the Lord said, I believe in times of need, every person can, for the Lord has a person faith. But so many people, so many of our preachers don't know how to teach a one of the kinds that they want. And we've got a world full of great big faith in the world. And that's what's wrong. The wrong. They need to be added to each generation of work, carry on the work. And they're hungry. There are some of them that are hungry for the word. When I say the word, I mean the teaching of all facets of God's word. You need to know the meaning of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. You need to be able not only to know every fundamental doctrine, but you need to know that doctrine as it relates to another doctrine. You need to know the book of God from Genesis to Revelation in all of its parts and have a concept of it as the whole revelation of God. We may have that picture. And we may tell it. Listen to me today. The politicians that run out here and make every kind of promise, it's been well to do. The other day, noticed that one of the politicians after being elected said, really, it's going to be hard to give everybody a job that we promised. Although they could go out and promise them things, they've got a lot of promising people in the work. But they aren't able. God has a plan for the solution of every one of our personal problems during our lifetime. And He's got the answer to the problem of civilization as a whole. And God has an unpreventable promise or purpose that's going to be fulfilled. It's unpreventable. It's unpreventable. Let me try to enforce the thing I think I said yesterday. I would much rather be 100% or as near possible as I can in my place in accord with His unpreventable purpose, His progressive way, than to be honored by the world as a great religious leader. But you may be so honored, and for whatever it means, people are so honored, you will use your power that they have to compromise. Now, all the cracks will glow in your kingdom, I pray, as well as our own will glow in our keeping one of life. We are wondering today, how's it going to be? I hope that by the grace of God, I can be true. When that hour comes, not time for the last step of cleansing there, if I ดูขึ้นไปเบิกตาในเรียนที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีความสัมพันธ์ที่ดีSo much to our faith. Amen.